We're going to have some readings from the scripture. We'll have four different readers. And the first one up is Karen Bolt. So Karen, feel free to unmute your mic and read for us.
Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 6 and verses 9 to 11. To intro, to God's people in exile in a faraway land, the prophet Isaiah announces good news. God is coming back to bring his people home. Hear these words from Isaiah. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Next up is Ann Crabb.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the fold of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the rivers to the end of the earth.
Next up will be Phoebe Colby.
This is Luke 1:26-33, and it's written to Mary, a seemingly unlikely person to change the world. To her, the angel Gabriel announces that she will give birth to a king whose reign will never end. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Now, John and Elise Chan.
So this is from Luke 2, verse 1 to 20. And before that, we'll just have a little section. The birth of Jesus doesn't seem like a royal event. Yes, there's fanfare of angels with light and song in the fields, but the real action is taking place out of view in a tiny corner of a tiny town where almost no one is paying attention.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available to them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
We're going to move into the time of reflection right now. I'm going to see if I can share my screen here, as well as I'm going to intro this a little bit. What I'm about to play for you is a piece of art created by our own David Loti, submitted to the BC Creatives art event in early December. I thought we would use it as a kickoff point for our reflections about the ways that God speaks to us. So if you haven't had a chance to hear it before, you get a chance to hear it now. This is called Whispers from the Wing.
After job searching a year, a wistful question enters my mind. Are there open auditions which don't require a headshot or monologue? And I find one. The audition is today. The role is a perfect fit in a beautiful story about the childhood of beloved bohemian artist Emily Carr. I get the part. Rehearsals commence on Thanksgiving. Apropos, it's one of the best jobs I've had, and the whole idea seemed to come from nowhere.
It may be nothing, or a whisper from the wing.
I drive, and four teenagers discuss our histories of auto accidents. Chris and John confess their faults. I feel smug with my immaculate record, forgetting how a year ago, police pulled me over 2 minutes from here for reckless driving. I say, "I've never been in a wreck." A second later, a driver swerves into our lane and hits my car. I drive into the ditch. Everyone's unharmed. The accident spooks me as much as the timing of the conversation before.
It may be nothing, whisper from the wing.
I hear in my heart, "David, you are a musician." I say, "Then today I need some confirmation to believe it. How about my favorite band, Five Iron Frenzy?" I watch all day, nothing. I return home, and my son reads a library book. I notice on the cover, "A Music Frenzy." That evening, my son is angry because he can't find an advertisement. We search 20 minutes and find it. He examines every page until he locates the toy he needs to show me. Iron Man. He says, "Dad, can I get this when I turn 5?
It may be nothing, from the wing."
I read a story of a man who finds a tie clip with his exact initials. He admits it may have no significance, but he interprets the discovery as an encouraging message. You're in the right place, doing the right thing. I wonder, have I ever run across my initials in a similar way? I recall none. 3 hours later, I pass a utility pole in my neighborhood. I've walked by it many times, but today, for the first time, I notice a well-worn sticker at the bottom. It says, Dal was here.
It may be nothing, or a whisper from the wing. It may be nothing, or a whisper from the wing.
I really enjoyed that, by the way. I think it is so well done. And we'll talk some about some of the reasons why I like that. But I want to start us with a question. And that is, have you ever wished that God would speak to you? That he'd show up, make contact with you somehow? My freshman year roommate from university actually set up an experiment to test for the existence of God by inviting God to speak to him or otherwise to reveal himself. And I can't remember anymore, it's too many years now, how many days in a row he conducted this experiment. But his conclusion, I think at the end of a week, was that either there was no God or that God didn't want to show himself. And he felt like he had sort of empirically proven this because of his experiment. You know, figured if God wanted to be known, God would show himself in some way. I think he was expecting something big, something loud and in his face and undeniable. Maybe something like this. This is a photo of the world famous Niagara Falls. When we went, it was like nothing I had ever experienced in my whole life. I mean, I don't know if you've gone there or not, but you see it and you hear it like the constant roar of the falls. You even feel the power of all that water falling. The ground literally trembles and you get damp from the spray of the water. God does speak that way. He even does it here in the Christmas story, right? There are those kinds of experiences, and an angel appears to Mary and not only speaks to her in some kind of whisper or whatever, but responds to her questions. They're like having a dialogue. The shepherds see and hear angels, and they see glory. I'm not quite sure what exactly that means, but maybe like a bright shining light. There may be some indication there that there could be music involved in their praise. It's wondrous and terrifying all at the same time. But it's not the only way that God speaks. Sometimes God speaks in ways that are ordinary, or in other times, maybe in ways that seem strange. Sometimes you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear more deeply. One of the things that I take from the Christmas story is that as amazing as the sound and light show was out in the field for the shepherds, with angels and possibly music, the presence and work of God that are about to change the world are hidden away in an out-of-the-way section of Bethlehem, a small town where a pregnant teenager is giving birth. Apparently, there was no guest room available for her and her betrothed, even though they've got family there. So it kind of makes you wonder about why there might not be a guest room, whether that's there were no rooms or there were no rooms for them. But they end up having to put the baby in a feed box, something that the animals ate out of. Now that is a sign, but it's a weird one. It's a sign that requires some faith to believe that it's an actual sign. It's not an in-your-face kind of sign like Niagara. It's a strange one. A baby in a feed box, and one that you have to go searching for at that. Like, how are they supposed to know that that's a sign of God's favor? Not just to them, but to the whole world. How are they supposed to know that this is the Savior, the King of the whole world? Well, only because A, they were told by an angel, and B, it's just too much of a coincidence. Like, where are you going to find a baby in a feed box? I so appreciated David's stories in Whispers from the Wing. They point out the sometimes ambiguity of the ways that God shows up for us. I mean, there are times when God shows up in a magnificent, rumbly, unmistakable way that leaves you soaked. But there are a lot of these experiences where they're not like completely clear signs, but they also seem to be a little too perfect to be coincidence. Could it be God making contact? Before I was a Christian, I had a couple of these experiences where I cried out to God, and God answered in an unusual way, but in a way that it wasn't clear that it was Him, except for the timing. Now, some of you might have heard these stories before about how I had lost a contact lens down a drain. This actually ended up happening twice. And both times, I think these faucets had, the plumbing underneath the faucets had never been opened. And so it was just frozen, and I didn't have the proper equipment and this kind of thing. So I'm trying to use a crescent wrench on this thing. I probably need something bigger. And I just could not budge it. And I'm in there yanking on this thing with all my might. And something kind of comes to me like, maybe you should pray, you know? And so I just yelled like, God! And both times, the nut broke loose and I banged my hands and cut them open on the plumbing underneath the sink. And so my hand is like aching for hours, but my mind is also like buzzing like, okay, that was weird. And then when it happened the second time, I really did start to attribute it to God, because I thought, it's just too weird that these things keep happening. I've had many experiences like David's, and I'm guessing that perhaps you have as well, in your individual life, or possibly in the wider world with the things that are going on, even in a global pandemic. Our own isolating, personal, contemporary exile. God is still calling people to prepare for his arrival. And so I wonder, during this holiday season, if you wouldn't make space for that, if you wouldn't turn your inward ear and eye toward him, to look deeper into some of those odd circumstances of your life and to find that he is still speaking.